This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
See Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is sponsored by Bahama Limited, CG Atlantic, Fidelity Bank of Bahamas, the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas, the International Culture, Wine and Food Festival, RF Bank and Trust, and Raw Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I trust that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call on the show, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. So let me give you the lay of the land today. I do have some special guests in studio, and they're going to be talking about some initiatives being undertaken in the sports area, in particular, football. We know it as, most of us know it as soccer. But we're going to talk to them. But then I'm going to talk to you about a couple of things. The primary of which is the Bahamas going into a recession? I'm going to answer that question today. And you might be interested to get the answer. I'm also going to, before I speak about that, though, talk about the press secretary situation, only because there's some important questions that I believe could lead to some important lessons from that situation. So unless I am mistaken, I should have in studio at the moment Madam Soraya Toppin-Herbert, Director of Women's Development at the Bahamas Football Association, and Mr. Fred Lynn, who is the general secretary of that association. Because I know she was the one I was reaching out to, Mrs. Herbert, Toppin-Herbert, are you there?
Hi, good evening. Yes, I'm here. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. Is Mr. Lynn in?
Shivago, I'm here. I'm just correct the name. It's Fred Lunn.
I'm reading. Okay, Mr. Lunn. I think maybe somebody typed when they typed the Y. It's spelled L-Y-N-N. That's what I have.
That was Well, I don't mind because you and I know. Freddie Lynn was a famous third. He was a shortstop for the Baltimore Orioles.
Can't go wrong. Either way.
He was a famous guy, so I don't mind using the name.
You're good. They're famous like you.
There you go. Thanks, man.
Well, you know, I followed the Bahamas Football Association from the time I was minister responsible for sports.
Absolutely.
Know that it has been doing excellent work over the years, mobilizing international resources and expertise and training for the benefit of our young people in that area. So I'm interested to see what's going on these days.
Well, I'm happy to have Soraya on board as well. We brought her in to really develop our young women's program here, and she's been doing a fantastic job for us. You know, we've spent many years developing our young men with the resources from FIFA and other sponsors that assist us with the BFA. We had a little over 2 years, obviously, with COVID. It certainly slowed down our development in our games and leagues with all of us, but we're all back on track now, and the leagues started last weekend, a week before, with the kids, and about 3 weeks ago with the men, and then the women will start, Soraya, in January, correct?
Yeah, with grass. They've started with futsal about 2 weeks ago.
Soraya, let me ask you, has the fame and rise of the American women's soccer team had an influence on women's interest in this part of the world?
I think so, because that's the most, I guess that's the clearest country in our region, pre-Jamaica making it to the World Cup in 2019. Yeah, that's definitely had an impact. And I guess with Jamaica making it now two times, because they'll be in Australia, New Zealand next year as well, that'll continue to assist with gaining interest in our region.
You know, I tried desperately. I didn't succeed, I must tell you, but I tried desperately to say to my daughter, I said, listen, girl, any female, and I have to say any female of color interested in sports has a huge opportunity to go and do to get a scholarship or something. Am I wrong about that?
No, that's absolutely correct. I benefited from that. I know a lot of people who benefit from that. I actually went to school with Devin Charlton. We went to Purdue together. So I can say it's definitely true.
And in fact, you know what somebody told me who was trying to encourage me to encourage my daughter? They said, listen, but I said, my daughter doesn't like this sport. He said, listen, it's not a question of whether she likes the sport or not. If she's interested and is prepared to train in it, boy, there's opportunity. That's what they told me.
Yeah, and Shivago, the opportunities come in the form of scholarships. I think before the pandemic, we were talking about the monies available for women, particularly in football. And I remember going to a conference in Mexico where they told us in the Caribbean, overall through our organizations, we left some $3 million on the table that was available for women's football. And we really are trying to encourage our young women, because the competition, you know, for those scholarships, not quite where the young men are, they have a great opportunity, whether it's Division II, Division I, AIA, and so on and so forth. So we're with Soraya's help and with Drell Mullins, and we do have a showcase that we put on once a year. That's coming back next year for our young men and women to have these scholarship offers available to them.
So what's the program like for women development now, Sarai? What does it entail? How can young ladies, their parents, get them involved? What's the program like?
Well, we're now in the process of building it, but as Mr. Lund was said, because of COVID, we've been pretty inactive. So we'll be using that time to really put some programs in place. So we're looking to start with going into the schools. And we're working with FIFA. Hopefully next year, early next year, we'll be rolling out some programs within the schools just for girls. And then within our clubs themselves, just getting more competitions out there, keeping the children more active. Because I know before, sometimes they'll be active for maybe about 2 months and then there's nothing for them. So we've been working with the technical director, Bruce Swan, to make sure they're active. So right now, the girls, U13, they're playing futsal. And then the U15 girls, they'll start playing grass in November, and then everyone will pretty much be active starting in January again on grass. So getting everyone in the clubs active and then again going through the schools, that's going to be very important for us. And we're also trying to work with the groups in Family Islands as well, because we don't want to leave them out, because we know that's a very, very important part of the women's development, girls' development within the Bahamas. And then again, we have our national programs as well, where we have a center of excellence. So looking to start that from U13. We would have just taken a U15 group over to Tampa this summer, but we're looking to start a little younger with the U13 girls so we can have them in the program. As we were discussing earlier, scholarships, it's important that we can kind of get them in early so that they have the right technical and tactical skills, but then also just prepare them as well for what they need to have, whether that be the grades or the filming and different things that they
need for
scholarships.
Recording in progress.
So we have a wide variety of things, whether that's through the clubs, through our center of excellence, or through the schools that we're working on. So we should have a very busy end of year and then busy 2023 as well.
Well, I might be mistaken, but as far as I saw women soccer, you know, on the fields at the YMCA in Grand Bahama for a few months over the last several months. Is that part of your program?
Or? Yes, they're very active. No, that's with Grand Bahama Soccer. We actually went there earlier this year, myself and technical director, and we did some viewing of what they're doing over there. We actually had some girls from Grand Bahama come down to be a part of our U15 program. So I believe they've started back up. I think they took a pause for the summer, so they're back up and running for the end of the year, going into next year. But they do have a lot of young girls over there playing.
And I noticed that they are enthusiastic. I mean, they you know, sometimes you see girls, you know, interested in sports and, you know, they kind of like, you can see they have a tentative approach to it. Not them girls. On that field, carrying on like, you know.
That's what we like.
That's what we like.
Yeah. They're right into it, man. Yeah. I played soccer for a little while. I thought to myself, I don't want to play with them.
No, no. These young girls will hurt you too, you know. They don't like the guys. Yeah, yeah. We tend to hold up a long time, but they're committed. They're committed to their tackles. Shago, I wanted to, to add also that to our, you know, Carl Lynch, our executive general secretary, we rolled out a program to adopt a school, which all of our clubs, all nine of our clubs here, have to adopt an inner city school and work with the youth there to give them a choice, you know, to pick up a ball and just change their lives. So that program's rolled out as well, and we're doing another program with FIFA, Amazing Generation.
Generation Amazing.
Generation Amazing. Mm-hmm. We've secured some funding that must go directly into the youth development programs. And I think Soraya and Bruce is headed to Cat Island, one of the first islands. That's Monday, huh?
Yeah.
This Monday?
This coming week.
Yes, coming week. To go down there and do a festival with the young kids on that island with football and do some training with the primary school teachers. And so we'll be visiting a few of the islands and you know, getting football out to everyone on those islands. We spent a lot of time in Nassau.
How do you guys do it in terms of, you know, coaches, trainers, and stuff for these young people? Because you have to have those, eh?
Yeah, yeah. And if, you know, that's one of the first things you have to put in place, you know, if you have to have the coaches. So we do have a coaches training program and a licensing program, and the same with officials, and that's through our development department. So they do put on programs for the primary schools with the Ministry of Education, as well as through our clubs. We put on programs. So anyone who's really interested, you know, we did a big program this summer with the Defense Force, with their officers, for refereeing, and we have some of them who have now become referees for us. And so we do that with the teachers and other organizations as well who want to volunteer to be a coach or even a referee.
Yeah, you know, there are people sitting out there now who, I know you want to get involved with something. You're thinking, listen, I can't just be about myself all the time. But you're sitting out there thinking, I want to get involved with something. And I find that these volunteering in these young people's sporting programs, whether that's at the Y or through some of the clubs or the associations like yours, is a way to do it. And sometimes you don't have to be a technically sound person. You may be a manager of a team, or you might be one of the people who help organize things for the team. But there are ways to get involved, right?
Yeah, there is. And I'll let Soraya talk a little bit about that that path of that's different from I want my child to be a professional soccer player, because I'll let her tell you a little bit that story with what you can use football for as you follow the career path of being a professional player and what else is available to you.
Yeah, but even to add before that, we actually have a CONCACAF women's only coaching course coming up the beginning of November. So we're really excited for that. I think we're probably going to be one of the first countries to have that program rolled out in. So we have about 20 women currently signed up for that course. So that'll be good for us going forward, a couple of PE teachers in that group. But in terms of getting involved, for sure, especially when parents drop their children off to soccer practice, is a good time for them to get involved with the clubs that they're a part of, or even if they're not bringing children to clubs, if they're, you know, they live in a neighborhood where they may be a club or a school training, is a good time for them to volunteer, especially administrative wise. They may say, oh, I don't have any football knowledge, but they probably, maybe they're administrators on the day-to-day. That's a good way for them to get involved. And I always like to say that football is more than what happens on the field. There's so many opportunities for young people, you know, from the youngest age to the oldest age, to get involved in the game on the side, whether that's in event management. We have an event coming up this weekend, and there are a lot of things that are going to be happening outside of the sand that need to get planned, and we need people, you know, to do those different activities. So those are good ways for people to get involved in the game, and that it doesn't require them to be technically sound, be tactically sound as it relates to the game, but there's a place, I like to say there's a place for everyone, especially women, in the game.
Now, I don't know if this is still true, but I know it was certainly true. Football, soccer, has more fans around the world than any other sport.
Oh, yes. It's the number one sport globally.
Yeah, that's what I recall. That's what I remember. And if I'm not mistaken, professionally, I think they still have the average highest salaries?
Yes, it is. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I remembered from the last set of statistics that I observed. So I wish... Mommy, I wish you all had told me that earlier. I'd have stayed on the field after I got shinned.
Yes.
I would have stayed on.
Yeah. But we want to encourage them to, yes, of course, follow their dream, professional players. But, you know, sometimes you may be one injury away maybe a decision away from not being a professional player. And there's some other areas that you can be professional, whether it's stadium management, physios, you know, doctors, nutritionists that deals with us in football. So, you know, it's Ryan myself, we're administrators in football now. My career is over, but she's still active national team player for Barbados and still doing her work as an administrator here in the Bahamas. So there's opportunities.
My daughter didn't go to soccer, but she's doing physiotherapy. She's finishing up a degree in exercise science now, and the next step is to become a physical therapist.
Oh, that's wonderful. So, that's wonderful. Yeah, so you'll look us up. We want to take a few minutes just to talk about our big event this weekend.
Yes, that's what I wanted you to talk about. The event coming up.
Yeah, this is the most exciting sport coming back to the Bahamas again after being off for a while, which is Beat Soccer, the Bahamas Beat Soccer Cup, which is this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Okay. Kicks off at 6 p.m. every night with our young ladies playing against the Turks and Caicos, and then you know, Trinidad. That's going to be some exciting matches for the young women. First time they're playing actually on home soil at this level, senior women. Mm-hmm. And then our men will be taking on Colombia, Costa Rica, and Trinidad. And that's going to be an exciting ticket as well. For those of you who remember Beat Soccer in the World Cup that was here, we got tremendous support from the Bahamian public. We want them to come out again. I know we had some 21 million people watched it worldwide, the statistics we got back, and some 54,000 people attended the games in person. So it is tremendous for our tourism. It's tremendous for sports tourism in particular. The potential there for this sport to grow is fantastic. Appreciate the support from our clubs and support from our sponsors in particular. You know, Alive has been great for us. Movie Group has been great. Master Creations, you know, and all the signages that we've been doing. We really thank them for their support. Atlantis has come on board. So we have some notable companies behind this opportunity to present the Bahamas to the world.
So you want us get out there with our whistles?
No whistles. Cowbells, drums. You know, we got bring your cowbells and drums.
That's right. The officials have the whistles, right?
You know, if I know if any whistles, we can look for Shivago because he don't mention this. I can tell him who to make the announcement in the arena.
No whistles, folks.
Shivago, please come to security desk.
You ain't locking me up. I ain't going to let it get locked up.
No, we
but
want
you need
to
us out there.
Noise.
We need to be rooting on the teams,
absolutely,
our team.
Yes.
And just having a ball. It's a great family bonding time, guys and ladies. Take your kids out there and all of y'all root together. That's an experience you'll have together and they'll never forget it.
Yeah, I think, well, you were firsthand there and have worked with us over the years to bring that sport to the Bahamas and I always realize it. It is a family event and it's an arena where everyone's close to the action. And, you know, it's a high-scoring game. It's a fast-paced game. You know, if you look away for a second, you can miss a goal or a great save. There's going to be food for everyone there and some drinks for everyone as well. So, you know, we know the games start at 6. So if you're coming from picking up the kids or coming from work, it's a great opportunity to stop in and enjoy the environment. Like we say in beach soccer, it's really a beach party and then a soccer game breaks out. So that's what we...
Is there a cost?
Yes, yeah, it's free. That's the cost. The cost is absolutely free.
We love that high cost.
Yeah, it's a high cost.
That's the inflation beta, free.
Yeah. It's our way of giving back to the country. You know, it's a wonderful event. Nice. Like you know, we've worked with the government, the great facilities that we have there. And we have this event maybe once a year, once every 2 years. It's absolutely free to the public. We are hoping that our bid to host the 16 nations next year, next May, that we'll be successful in that, and so we'll bring back 16 countries to the Bahamas. That'll be a lot to see, and we're hoping that they will also showcase women at this CONCACAF qualifiers. That'll be the first for us as well.
And just remind folks where they go to have the event.
Gate's going to open at 4 o'clock. It's right at the base of the Sydney Poitiers Bridge, opposite Eastern Parade. So it's free, so come early to get your seats. And you don't want to miss any action. You'll enjoy, you know, 3 hours of fantastic beach football at its highest level.
Yeah. Okay, well, is there a site people could go on just to get the schedule and see what's going on for themselves?
Yeah, sure. BahamasFA.net. And it's going to be streamed live. We'll put that out as well. I think we're going to be shown in 131 countries around the world for this event.
Wow.
So, yes, they can actually do that, or they can always call us at the office at 322-4343. Ask for Soraya.
Madam Soraya, you are the last word.
No, just inviting everyone to come out and support, especially the women. This will be the first time that they'll be playing at home in this capacity, so they're definitely looking forward to having support mm-hmm. and to doing well. So for sure, make sure you come early and to mm-hmm. support them. They'll be playing at 6 on Saturday and Sunday, and then the Bahamas men will be playing at 8:30 mm-hmm. every night, Friday through Sunday.
Yeah, Shivago, I could just give a shout-out to Bamboo Shack. They're also a big sponsor of ours, one of our silver sponsors. And it'll be out on social media. It'll be out on Facebook. And, of course, we appreciate you having us on your show.
Anytime.
Because I know you have
Anytime.
A large audience in the Bahamas as well.
Anytime. Happy to help. Happy to help. We wish you all the best. And, no whistles, just cowbells and drums, okay? Okay. We look forward to seeing you out there.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Fred, Lan, and Soraya, Toppin, Herbert. Thank you very much, Bahamas Football Association. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. When we come back, is the Bahamas going into a recession? We'll talk about it when we get back.
Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Fidelity's free Women Plus seminar is back. Join us on Saturday, October 29th at the Bahama Convention Center, where leading professionals will give you the hard facts on topics like
How to Be Rich 101, how your mental and emotional health impact financial health, and what I wish women knew about men.
And how to get their money. This free life-changing event is for women and men. The seminar includes breakfast, 8 sessions, plus over $8,000 in prizes and surprises. Registration and breakfast begins at 8 a.m., with sessions from 9:30 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Space is limited, so register now for free at fbbwomenplus.com.
So, what would you like to discuss?
Insurance, Doc. It's so frustrating. I go to the mall for motor, drive to Bay Street to get a home quote, swing east to file a medical claim, then go west for a pensions appointment. Don't even get me started about life.
I'm going to prescribe CG Atlantic. They have all the insurance you're looking for.
Really? Thanks.
With all the insurance you need, we're like a doctor that doesn't waste your time and money. CG Atlantic. Good like that.
The International Culture Wine and Food Fest is back, this time at a new location. We've relocated from Botanical Gardens to Collins House Gardens. And I know some of y'all are asking, where that is? That's on Shirley Street and Collins Avenue, right across from Doctors Hospital. And I know you also want to ask, y'all love parking? Yes, businesses in the area have opened their secured parking lots, and Bahamas Experience shuttle buses will be available. Enjoy food from around the world, Australia, Colombia, and even Morocco, just to name a few. Yup, the drinks could be there too. Bring the kids to enjoy the Gombe Kids Zone in our spooky haunted house. Enjoy the Bohemian concert along with the Rhythm Band, and the singing Bishop Lawrence Roll will be in the gospel concert on Sunday. So save the dates. Saturday, October 22nd from 10 to 10 p.m. and Sunday, October 23rd from 10 to 7 p.m. Come on out and have a great cultural time. The 25th International Culture Wine and Food Fest. Did I mention free Wi-Fi by your life? Yup, that too.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this interesting Thursday afternoon. I'm still in Chicago, folks. It's 44 degrees in Chicago. It is biting cold today. I mean, I think the wind chill factor has got it feeling even worse than it felt yesterday. So it's cold. I'm inside. I'm warm for now. But just traversing that cold weather is something. And I'm adventurous. I'm going to go and, you know, during the breaks, I'm going to go and walk. And see the place. But I had an interesting session today on raising the next generation of public policy leadership, the way that programs at these universities, public administration and public policy programs, the way that they are trying to ensure that when a young person leaves their programs, that they leave ready to actually make a leadership impact in the areas of public policy, which was a very interesting discussion. We had people from all over the world discussing the matter and asking the panelists questions related to how to globalize the issue of public policy for students, how to ensure that the leadership skills that are desirable are actually being passed on through these programs. It really, really, really was a good discussion today here in Chicago. Anyway, so I know you want to know if the Bahamas is going into recession, and maybe some people don't care what I think about it, but there are some people who might care, and so I am going to tell you that. But before I do, I want to talk about the issue that arose around the marital rape matter, in which the press secretary Clint Watson made comments about there being no substantial advocacy by women's groups, and that obviously getting a strong reaction from women's groups, and then actually a release by the prime minister correcting what his press secretary said. Now, let me be clear on some things. That a press secretary could get something wrong is not new in the work that they do. It's not frequent, but it's not impossible for it to happen. So as a human being, that Mr. Watson got this one wrong, it happens. What I found more profoundly interesting was in the Prime Minister's press release. The Prime Minister said, and I quote, "We discussed comments made last week by Press Secretary Clint Watson concerning their advocacy around the issue of marital rape. They understood and accepted that those comments were made in error. By the time of the meeting, the press secretary had already issued a full apology." This is what I find particularly interesting in the prime minister's press statement. He was misinformed about the extent of the consultation and has set the record straight. So here's what's important to know about a press secretary. A press secretary is not, should not be, speaking his or her own mind. A press secretary is a communicator of the government's positions on things. Okay, let's be clear. The Prime Minister's press secretary is merely articulating the mind and positions and policies of the Prime Minister. How does that then happen? Well, typically, the Prime Minister, and this is new for us, because Prime Minister Ingram never had a press secretary. Dr. Minnis did. Sir Linden never had a press secretary. You know, so But so this is a new implant in the Bahamas, this political machinery, right? Starting with Mr. Minister, Prime Minister Minnis, former, whose press secretary kind of faded off life in a hurry. Okay, let's be clear on that, right? Started out a couple of weeks later, a few weeks later. That's history. So this is a new implant. So what happens is, typically is, the Prime Minister and his press secretary would sit or would have a briefing. These are the issues. This is what we want to communicate. And that's what you go out there and communicate. Now, you can go out there and communicate what you're told, and then people, the press, ask questions. Yeah, that's where it gets tricky and where it gets important to be savvy. Because remember, the press secretary is not communicating his thoughts, ideas, opinions, positions, beliefs. He, she is a press secretary, communicator of the positions, beliefs, programs of the prime minister, his government. So when the press asks a press secretary something for which the press secretary has no government communicated answer, no answer discussed with the prime minister, the press secretary's job is to say, can I get back to you on that? Period. People don't like to be in a situation where they can't answer, but sometimes it's the wisest place to be, because you don't have an answer. You say, can I get back to you on that? I'll get back to you on that later. Okay? Or Prime Minister didn't, and I have not discussed that, but we will. I'll bring it up to him and I will come back to you. Okay? Because again, if you sitting out there searching your own mind for your positions on life, that's not the job. It's not what you're paid for. And that's why you get to be safe as press secretary, because it's not your job. You don't have to give a defense for the government. You give the government's defense for itself. What the government is engaging you for is for your articulation, your communication skills, your savvy in interacting with the press. Okay, you shouldn't be out there rowing the press. You shouldn't be out there rowing the society. You merely communicate the positions, the thoughts, the perspectives of the prime minister. That makes you always safe. Because then people get to say, oh, well, the prime minister said through the press secretary, the prime minister said through the press secretary. What does the press secretary think? I don't know, because that's not the job. My job is not to talk about what I think. The job is what the government's position is. So with that said, if that's how it's supposed to work, and the prime minister says the press secretary was misinformed by who? Listen to the word, misinformed, meaning that the press secretary was informed of something, but that something that he was informed about was not correct. Well, who did the informing? Right? I mean, like, how does that work? How do you, as a press secretary, get misinformed? I mean, you're not going to be informed by underlings. Who's informing you that you could be misinformed about something like that? Now, and to my mind, what the prime minister did was, and graciously, try not to so heavily throw his press secretary under the bus by saying he was misinformed. So he's trying to take some blame off of the press secretary. But in saying that, though, it raises questions. I mean, because who's informing? You see, one of the challenges with getting it wrong that way is that as a press secretary, your credibility now stands questionable on other informed positions. Because people remember, the press will say, well, yeah, but you know you got it wrong on that thing. How do we know you're not getting it wrong on this thing? So what has to now happen is the press secretary has to now reframe himself. he has to really get on the ball now and win back the confidence of that audience of press people to ensure that they recognize, you know, I learned from that era, and you can be assured that the things I communicate now are expressly those given to me by the prime minister and confirmed with the prime minister as things that I am going to communicate. Okay, and so I just thought it was interesting. And, you know, and Mr. Watson is a younger person, and he's been in the business a bit in terms of media and what have you. And he grow and learn, you know? You grow and learn. That's life. I fouled up in life. Others fouled up in life. You grow and learn, and you move past it, right? But learn, though. Learn. For God's sake, learn. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to pay our respects to our sponsors. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody. Come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
I ain't marsh the car. The lady run into me marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Isn't it time you conquered your investment goals? With RF Mutual Funds, you can access a range of investments within a single fund. That means you get access to top-performing local stocks, along with exposure to international markets. Add expert management and competitive returns like 25.16% with our targeted equity fund, and you won't just meet your investment goals, you'll conquer them. Get started with RF Mutual Funds today at rfgroup.com.
The Bahamas Culinary and Arts Festival kicks off October 21st with a fish fry-inspired welcome party, headlined by none other than the legendary Boyz II Men. Join us for the first ever Bahamas Culinary and Arts Festival from October 21st through 23rd. For more information, visit bahamar.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to call us, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us at 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Boy, let me tell y'all something. People in the world are something else. Someone forwarded to me something by a gentleman, Alan McGinnis, who says, my son has lived through four chancellors, three home secretaries, two prime ministers, and two monarchs. He's 4 months old. The UK is having a great, tough time of it. Just Prime Minister Theresa, is it Truss? Has just resigned. She just resigned, and so the shortest termed prime minister in Liz Truss in UK history. It's a tough place, man. It's a tough environment, that UK prime ministership, man. It's tough. Them people don't joke. they don't joke. And inside and outside of your party, dog eat your lunch. Okay. Anyways, so is the Bahamas going into a recession? Is the Bahamas going into a recession? The Minister of Economic Affairs says no. Says they're not worried about that. That the forward bookings for the hotel, the tourism sector looks good, and so you know there's no real concern that they have in that regard. But is he right? Is he right? Is the Bahamas going into a recession? Is it likely? Okay, this can be tricky. It's going to be tricky for y'all, right? But I'm going to help you, I hope. So let me say this. The Bahamas' fate in terms of going into recession was set on the day it was locked down as an economy. Okay, let me say it again. The day the Bahamas locked its economy down, meaning severely reduced economic activity in the country by requiring people to stay indoors. The day that happened, we set in motion a recession for the Bahamas. Shivago, what you talking about? What kind of nonsense are you talking about? Okay, let me explain. First of all, the problem with talking to many, many people about recession is when you think of recession, when many of you think of recession, your automatic thought is all kind of people losing jobs, all kind of businesses closing, things really bad and fouled up. That's what you think. I tried to explain this before, that could be true of a recession, but it doesn't have to be true of a recession. Let's suppose an economy, say the United States economy, is growing by 9%. 9% is rapid growth for an American economy. That's like almost overheating economy growth. China's grown by that amount over some years now. Not now, but back in the day. But America, you are really, really revved up if you're at 9%. Now, if, however, that 9% shrank in the next quarter, the next 3 months, to 8%, and then the next three quarters to 7%, they would be in recession. The economy is growing at 7%, though, which is still huge growth. What has happened, though, is that growth has reduced two consecutive quarters for 6 months consecutively. And that is what is the definition of a recession in the U.S. context. Right? Two consecutive quarters of reduced growth. Doesn't mean you're not growing, just means you have reduced growth. So it is possible to be in recession, meaning your economy is slowed, but you could still have a fairly good and decent economy. Okay? So, but most people, when you hear the word recession, oh my God, people can be losing their money, people can be losing their homes, people. That is and can be true. But that does not have to always be true. And in fact, very often is not true, because the recession's definition isn't quite like that. Now, we won't even be able to tell if the Bahamian economy is in recession by any official numbers. Why? Because we don't have updated, regularly published quarterly growth statistics by the National Bahamas National Statistical Institute. They're not, we don't get them in a frequent manner. Now, they do publish quarterly results, mind you. So when we get them, we will know whether or not we were in recession. But by the time as we get them, they will kind of be not as helpful. The Institute is going to improve that, I believe. But at the moment, you don't get them frequently enough to know. And so that you could say, yeah, we're in recession. And you could say that a couple of weeks after the recession has been confirmed. You can't. It's very hard in the Bahamas' context to know that. So the first thing is, just because you hear recession don't mean gloom and doom like you think. That's not it. It's not a good sign. It's not something that you want, but it doesn't have to mean the gloom and doom that you think. In the context of the Bahamas, we were bound to go in recession the minute we locked the economy down. Bound. What do you mean? No, I don't mean that we got into recession when we locked it down because it then started to shrink. I mean that it was going to go into recession after that, because here's what happened. You turned the whole economy down, whole economy, mostly, most of the economy, right? Substantially. Then, as time went on, you open it back up. What's going to happen? As you are moving back to normal activity, you're going to get a lot of growth because you're growing from a position of significantly reduced economic activity. So you're going to get the Bahamian economy grew in 2021 by 14%, folks. That's unheard of. That's like crazy growth. You know, China ruined by that. But the Bahamian economy grew by 14% in 2021. Why? Because you were going from a place where you had closed down practically most of your business activities and then you open it back up. So it's going to have to be that kind of growth to get back up to normalcy. Well, if you were all along growing at 2%, 1%, 3%, 2%, 1%, 3%, that's your normal growth. If you grow at 14%, as things get back to normal, what do you think is going to happen? You are going to shrink from 14% back down to 2 and 3 and 4%. And that was predicted. And if that's what's going to happen, you're recessing. That is a recession. That's no question but that. But it isn't a recession where you alarm that, oh, we're panicking because they. It's a recession because that extraordinary 14% growth was never, ever sustainable to begin with. And you had to go down from there. Had to. No question about it. I don't know why people even having this discussion. It was not a question on planet Earth that we were not going to continue at 14% growth, not even 5% growth. We were going to go back down to 2% unless there was some extraordinary inward foreign direct investment coming into the Bahamas. And then that's not happening. So is the Bahamas going into recession? Hell yeah. Normal, natural, expected reality. It is going to go into recession, meaning its economy is going to shrink from the 14% it had in 2021. It will not grow by 14% in 2022. It will not grow as high as it grew in 2022 and 2023. And it will get back to around 2-3% growth if we're lucky. All right? We'll talk about it some more on the other side of the break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivag Balang, your host. We'll be back after this news break.
Everybody!
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this cold where I am Thursday afternoon. So we were talking about whether the Bahamas is going into a recession. My answer is yes. Am I contradicting the minister? Yeah, a little bit, only to this extent. I believe that when the minister is saying you're not going into recession, he's talking about recession in the way you think of recession, meaning, you know, oh, you're going to be in all kind of job losses, et cetera, et cetera. But the recession we're going into that I'm talking about is a recess from 14% growth rate back to your normal growth rate around 2-3%, maybe even less than that. So yes, you can't get from 14% to 2% or 3% without recessing. Not possible, all right? The Bahamas grew by 14% last year. It will not grow by 14% this year. Absolutely not. Because you've gotten back a lot of your normal activity, and that's now going to mean that you have no way to be revving up as big as you revved up before. So you're going to recess down to maybe 6-7% this year, and then next year you're going to recess down to about 3-4%, and so forth. That's what's going to happen, you know, unless something extraordinary happens to bring you a new set of economic activity. So, yeah. We are going into recession. We are definitely going to go into recession. And we aren't going to have any concrete numbers on it until the National Statistical Institute provides us with them. But trust me, you're going to recess. I'm not worrying about that recession, though. I'm not worrying about this recessing you're doing. I'm not, because that does not mean what many of you think it might mean for us. This text says, good afternoon, sir. I'm concerned about the drop in VAT revenue, which means more tax increases are probably on the way. Why is the government quiet on this issue? God knows I can't afford to pay any more taxes. Well, firstly, I don't think it follows that because VAT revenue is down, the government is going to have to increase taxes at all. That's not true at all. Because the truth is, VAT revenue is a product of economic activity. So you have a lot. So you grew by 14% last year. Well, that's extraordinary economic activity that you were participating in as you were revving up your economy again from it being locked down. So the government was able to get 10% of all of that economic activity of last year. Right, so now you're going to grow less this year, and you are now in October. The government reduced VAT from 12 to 10%. And notwithstanding all that talk you hear, but oh, we ahead of revenue, we ahead on revenue. Listen, it was inevitable for the government to suffer some loss in revenue from the reduction of VAT from 12 to 10%, because if the government did not suffer some revenue loss from 12% to 10%, why did it give you the break to begin with? Because if the break means you pay less. And that's what the break means? Yeah, the break means the whole economy pays less. But if the whole economy is going to pay less as it is reducing its speed, then why would you not expect a reduction in VAT? That's illogical. So that's a natural phenomenon you see happening with this VAT revenue reduction. And I don't think any alarm about it is warranted at this point, because it ought to have been expected in the turn of things. But here's what has happened to the government. The government's language about the economy and about VAT and about its revenue has been far too exuberant, far more exuberant, and far less cautionary than ought to have been the case. Now, Halkidas has not been as exuberant about that as others, but the government's impression is that things are great, things are going to stay great, and so forth and so forth. And I think that language is finally catching up with the government, because not for bad reasons, just for normal, natural reasons, that kind of enthusiasm, that exuberance was not warranted in the medium term. Because, again, I say, if your economy is growing at 14%, that's abnormal. and only happened because you were turning it up from its severely reduced state. You're going to, because of that increased amount of activity, you're going to get more VAT money. But if it's going to begin to recess downward, you're going to get less money, especially when you, the government, reduced the rate of VAT from 12% to 10%, and you had to have expected that that rate would result in a revenue loss unless your economy was flourishing above and beyond what you intended, because you gave people a break so they could pay less. Well, if they can't pay less, if they're paying more. So I'm not alarmed by any of this at all. Not alarmed. Let me tell you what I'm going to be alarmed about. I am watching the Bahamas' economy 2024-2025. And I'm watching to see what the pace of growth of that economy is. One, I'm watching to see if we actually get back up to pre-pandemic size economic activity. So I have to know what GDP is in 2024-2025 to see if we even actually get back to pre-pandemic, because we're not there yet, I don't think. And then I want to see after that, what is the pace of our growth? Are we going back to 0%, 1%, 1.5%, that kind of stuff? Because that's not going to be good for the Bahamas. That's not going to be good. That's not going to be good for you. That's not going to be good for any of us. So that's what I'm watching for. But this talk and discussion now arising out of this extraordinary period of time, which we pray God does not get hit with another external shock that's massive, I'm not getting excited about life in this particular set of circumstances. You know, watching this economy is, as some of you are doing from month to month and day to day, week to week, now, you know what that is? That's day trading. That's day trading. And you know what day trading is? Day trading is stressful as hell. You're on the day trading. Day traders are people who are looking at the market. Oh, it's up today, it's down today, it's up today, it's down today. Man, listen to me. If you play the markets like that, you'll have ulcers. People, investors, are long-range observers. They're looking for trends. And one period does not a trend make. Trends are established over periods. And so I'm not a day trader in economics. So I listen to the numbers, I watch them, I take them in context of what they mean today, but there's no information I could have about where this economy really is going right now on the basis of what has happened between 2020 and 2022. None. It cannot help me intelligently figure out what the deal is for this economy at all. I could tell you what can tell me, just right up and down, New Providence, Grand Bahama, Abaco, and them. Right up and down and see what's happening. See what new is happening. See if anything new is popping up, domestic or foreign. See what you see. And if you can see and things happening that you say, boy, I didn't see that happening. That looks like a lot of, then you know something's happening in this economy. If you can't see nothing, same old. Go talk to the hotels and see what they see. See what hotels are opening up new rooms that are closed now. Go and see. If hotels are not opening up new rooms that are closed now that were open before the pandemic, that tells you ain't back to pre-pandemic yet. Right? It's not that hard. If construction workers are not as robustly engaged as they were prior to the pandemic, you are not where you need to be yet. Right? So don't be a day trader. Day trading can cause you to have ulcers. This text says, good show as usual. I think we're going into a recession because you skipped town and gone to Chicago. Mr. Lang, you could have picked a warmer place. I didn't skip town, man. I am attending a professional development conference. What do you want me to do? Boy. So, you know, the VAT revenue decline, that's day trading. Some days, 1 month of VAT revenue could be up, 1 month it could be down, 2 months could be up, 2 months could be down, you know, and then you get it come up again. I expect VAT revenues will increase now, given that you are going into your winter season, and so you get more tourist activity and you get more spend, and so you might have some uptick in the VAT, but you can't watch VAT month to month quite like that, man. You know, nah. And then, come on, you know? So, not a big story there, you know? You keep watching it, but for the time being, not entirely sure that I would get all that up in arms about it. All right. It is interesting to me that the marital rape issue remains still outstanding, though. It is. But, you know, the Attorney General seems to be trying to get to a place where there's a consensus on what to do about it, for sure. And I understand that, but it's a barometer. It's a barometer of where we are socially. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean that if we wanted some ideas about our clarity on certain moral positions, this is one example that we are not as united on our moral positions as we used to be anymore. And to be honest with you, right? I mean, to be honest with you, being thoughtful about this is necessary. It's necessary because it's not just a matter of the law. It's a matter of what it communicates, because we are having an issue in this world now. Don't let anybody fool you. We are having an issue in this world. You know, women have been gaining grounds in terms of the equalities they deserve in respect of treatment in our societies. There's no question about that. They are gaining, and rightfully gaining, some equalities that they ought to have gained vis-a-vis their treatment in our world. But I am saying to us too that some of that is coming at the expense of men feeling like they ain't nothing more but perpetrators and violators on planet Earth. That's how they've been treated. That's how they feel. And so sometimes men see these things as another creep. Sometimes a man might take a position on this marital rape issue, not even to say it's right, but maybe only to say, listen, man, I mean, like, when are y'all going to stop bashing us across our heads? When are you going to stop treating us like no good, nasty, stinking beings? When are you gonna stop? When are you gonna say, okay, we all have crappy issues. We all have issues. We all have our flaws. We all have our faults. And now let's talk about how to work together to fix ourselves. Because I'm telling you, a gender war is raging on planet Earth. It's raging. There's some stupid, idiotic thoughts that men have. There's some stupid, idiotic thoughts that women have that is playing out on this planet, and it ain't gonna be good for women, it ain't gonna be good for men, and it ain't gonna be good for children, and it ain't gonna be good for society. I'm telling you, it's happening. Stupid, nasty, disgusting thoughts on both sides that have no sense in God's world. No sense. So sometimes these marital rape policies and issues and stuff, they get caught up in the ancillary issues that men and women are dealing with and dealing with on a daily basis. We have a rawness in our relationships that don't reflect God, don't reflect Jesus, don't reflect love, don't reflect decency. It is just crap. Right? And so there is a need to approach these things cautiously so that wrong messages aren't sent. But there is no man or woman on planet Earth who can tell me a man forcing himself on his wife is morally right. He is legally okay, but he ain't morally right, because I just don't see God and Jesus acting that way. I'm just saying, right? I just don't see it. I say it again. I just don't see Jesus holding his church down and saying, listen to me, you gonna be with me whether or not you like it. Because I hear Jesus say, listen, behold, I standeth at the door knocking. He who opens the door, I shall come in and sup with him and he with me. He who what? Opens the door. Woman, open your leg. Woman, open your leg. I don't see Jesus doing that nonsense. So I don't care how much bishop you are. I don't care how much priest you are. I don't care how much pastor you are. I don't care how much sister you are. I don't care how much prophetess you are. I just don't see it. Now, what do we do with that in law? Do we make that illegal in law? Well, why not? If it ain't right, if it's an assault, because this is not, it's only an assault not because you say it's not. In every other circumstances other than marriage, if a woman or a man is forced to sexually do anything, it would be rape. But because you have a state-issued certificate, it is not. Okay. Now that's different than the messages we are sending the men around this issue of uplifting women. Because the way we are uplifting a lot of men, of women, is by drowning men. And that ain't right. That's not going to be good for us. And I ain't supporting that nonsense. All right? We love you, women. We love you, women. Want the best for women. But I ain't buying that nonsense. I'm not buying that crap where you get to poop on men so you could smell sweet. I'm not doing that. And I'm not going to support any man pooping on a woman so he could smell sweet. What all of us need to do is go poop in the toilet where you're supposed to poop. And then when we finish, clean up, wash up, and go put perfume on so we could smell sweet together. That's what all of us need to do. This nonsense. If you put a man down, the society doesn't win. If you put a woman down, the society doesn't win. The only way the society wins is when a man and a woman is uplifted. A young man don't need an elevated father and a downgraded mother, or an elevated mother and a downgraded father. A young person don't need that. They need elevated parents. But that's not what we're doing in our world too often today. I'm telling you, it's not what we're doing, boy. But if that's how you like it, carry right on. This text to Mr. Lang. I deal and swayed in data. How many wives are being raped in the Bahamas? Can you provide data on this? I can't, you know. But I couldn't care less how many wives are being raped. How many girls are being raped? Little girls. So you're telling me that if only one little girl is being raped in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, you should not have a law against it? Man, stop talking stupidness. I need no data for that nonsense. Get smart with me on some stuff, but not that. That to me is nonsense. Absolute nonsense. How many women are being raped? So one woman bashed through her mouth, forced to have sex with her husband. And if it's only one woman, oh, that shouldn't be against the law. Really? Really? Come on, man. You know better than that. You know better than that. Elevate your character. Elevate your sense of what is decent and right in the world, man. Don't give me no numbers game for that. If your daughter is the only one woman on planet Earth raped, should there not be a rape law against rape? That's what you're saying? Are you really saying that to me? Answer me now. If only one person is murdered in the Bahamas on an annual basis, we shouldn't have a law against murder? Is that what you're saying to me? Really? Wow. Okay. I got you. I ain't with you, but I certainly hear you. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Isn't it time you conquered your investment goals? With RF Mutual Funds, you can access a range of investments within a single fund. That means you get access to top-performing local stocks, along with exposure to international markets. Add expert management and competitive returns by 25.16% with our targeted equity fund, and you won't just meet your investment goals, you'll conquer them. Get started with RF Mutual Funds today at rfgroup.com.
Hurricane season runs until November 30th. The Insurance Commission of the Bahamas encourages homeowners to be prepared. Review your insurance coverage today. Check your policy limit. Is it enough to rebuild your home? Have you accounted for everything you own and how much it's worth? Do you know the percentage of the hurricane or storm deductible in your policy? What disasters does your policy cover? For more information on how to prepare for hurricane season, visit www.icb.gov.bs.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Back, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful but cold Thursday afternoon. So, someone sent me a text here asking me. Saying the question is whether the Bahamas was in recession in 2019. Well, according to all of the statistical information that I have, the answer would be yes, as in 2017, the Bahamas' economy grew by 2.5%. In 2016 and 2018 by 1.6%, so that's lower. And then in 2019 by 1.2%, according to macro trends. But now let's see what the government says. Let's see what the government said was happening in the economy according to its data. So that, because some of y'all, you know, you could rightly argue, okay, but that's what them people say. Let's see what the government said about what was happening in our economy in terms of economic growth in those periods. Okay, so just give me 1 second and we'll get there and see what it says. So according to macro trends, the answer would have been yes, the economy was recessing, but that has nothing to do with whether it would be recessing from 14% downward, right? So I'm not sure what you're trying to get at, but that wouldn't have anything to do with it. So here's what we know. So now you have to remember, the government's fiscal numbers are from July to June. So it doesn't do calendar year. But so let's look at, according to the numbers, our real growth in 2018, 2019 was 5.2%. 2.2%. Okay? So from 2017-2018 fiscal year, it was 1.6%. 2018-2019 was 2.2%. This is I'm getting this right from the government's documents on the government's website. And then 2019-2020, which would include the recession, it was negative 12%. So according to the government's fiscal numbers, 2019 was not in recession, was not recessing, according to the government's fiscal numbers. Okay, if you want row, go row with the government's fiscal numbers, which are not calendar year numbers. I hope you can understand that. This text says, Lang, they keep saying there is gender bias in politics in the Bahamas. That is not true. Women don't vote for women. Women make up to 53% of voters and 90% if them of them vote. The PLP ran 6 women and all were elected. We have more women as teachers, nurses, head of departments in both public and private sectors. If a woman don't want to run, we can't mandate by law to automatically have 30% of the candidates as women. That is gender bias and inequality if there is a man more qualified, more capable for the position. I think trying to mandate by law a quota for women to be in politics, you then start doing the very thing you're fighting against, gender bias and discrimination. Okie dokie. I got you. But you say women don't vote for women. That's not true. That's not true at all. That's not true for at all. If women didn't vote for women, no woman candidate would win. That's for sure. And Janet Boswick won. Women voted for Janet Boswick the first time she got in the House. I don't think that that is true. Okay, let me see. We have another text here. Says, or headed to it, we were at 1% or thereabouts. Yeah, according to the government, well, according to macro trends, it was 1.6%. According to the government fiscal year, your period you were talking about, 2018-2019, was about 2%, 2.2%. So it wasn't recessing, right? Not according to the government's numbers and so. Anyways, I mean, again, none of that has anything to do with the fact that, I mean, like, what's the point? I mean, like, what is the point that, so if we were recessing in 2019, what does that do? What does that do? That says, oh, you know what, ministers were having a recession too? Is that the point? I don't understand. I mean, I don't like the question is the Bahamas headed to a recession? And a retort is, the question is whether we were recessing in 2019. No, well, what we know is we were growing in 2019 for sure. We were growing. Were we recessing? Yeah, actually, that's not an unreasonable question, to be honest. That's not, you know, I'm going to fix that. That's not an unreasonable question, because what I think you'd be saying is that if we were recessing pre-pandemic, then we'd be going back to a recessing scenario. And that would be true, but that wouldn't change the fact that we were recessing anyways. That's why I say what I'm looking for is what happens after we get to pre-pandemic levels, how the economy performs at that time will be more telling about the situation we're in than not. Now let me tell you really honestly. It isn't hard to tell if the Bahamas is going to be much better off than it was pre-pandemic 4 or 5 years from now. It's not hard. It's not, because there's only a few ways that's going to happen. It's only a few ways. You have to have a significant uptick in foreign and domestic investments, and mostly foreign investment. Y'all could beat your jaws up until Chinese New Year comes around again. The domestic Bahamian investments cannot significantly rev up this economy. Cannot do it. It's just as a matter of sheer quantity and logistics, not possible to do it. So we have to have substantial foreign direct investment take place for that to happen. So if you don't see that, if you don't hear the government announcing, not announcing this in the pipeline, if you don't hear the government announcing, oh, the project starts today and the groundbreaking and the people are being hired and so forth and so forth. If you don't see that, don't hate your head about what's going to happen in this economy. If you do not see a significant rev up and stopover tourists, visitors to the Bahamas, significant with hotel rooms opening up and hotel rooms being built. If you don't see that happening, don't think about the Bahamas having any significant economic growth. If you don't see some new investments in areas like manufacturing and agriculture taking place, that if you don't see that, listen, folks, life is real. It's not a fantasy. And life is not our words alone, right? We can speak of what we like. We can speak of what we do. But if we don't do nothing, if you don't go on the ground and see it, there's no economy that's going to grow unless you see it on the ground. You will experience it, folks. You will experience it. And right now, I don't see that. I'm not saying it won't happen, but I'm saying, until you do, you can't believe that there is much better in the way of prospects for us than that. And how is that going to happen? You got to go out there and persuade and chase some folks and tell them, listen, man, how can I help you do some things in this country? That's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. And if we don't do it, there's not much to be said about what is possible, more possible about what we want to happen. Ms. Texas, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Your text is necessarily wrong. I've had women tell me if all other things about the candidates were equal, they'd vote for a man over a woman. When I asked why, the general responses were that women hold too many grudges and can't get along in a group, unfortunately, but it seems to be a popular opinion. Well, I'm glad you said seems to be. That's what you say, seems to be. I can't say I haven't heard that before. I have heard it. I've heard it close to home. I've heard women tell me women are too emotional and they don't like them for leadership. I've heard that, but I don't know how widespread that view is. I mean... Anyway, women gotta keep trying. Keep trying. I can't argue the point. They're getting there though. Got a number inside the house today. The speaker's a woman. The minister of public service, minister of state public service, a woman. The minister of housing is a woman. The minister for Grand Bahama is a woman. Who am I missing? Who am I missing? Anyone? Any other women? Oh, Minister of Education. Oh, yes, a woman. Yes, senior woman. So the women are there. And I was in the House of Assembly. Melanie Griffin was in the House. Janet Boswick was in the House. Teresa Moxie Ingram was in the House. Marta Pratt. Was in the House. Italia Johnson was in the House. Janet Boswick was in the House. Grant was in the House from 8 Mile Rock. Glennis Hannah Martin was in the House. So I'm sure I missed some women. So some women were in the House, right? So we've had some women participating and. And more and more women get elected in the Bahamas. Trust me on that. More and more women get elected. Unless this gender war gets crazy, even if the gender war gets crazy, more women can get elected because the women can put their votes behind the women, and they're gonna compel these parties to run more women, right? We can have more women in the House. How that's going to change the character of our leadership, be interesting to see. Our families are having issues, though. Our families are having issues. And I don't know how that experiment is going to work out, but we can see. We're going to see. I noticed the Prime Minister moved very quickly to quell any upsetness on the part of, I know y'all want to hear about Lincoln and COI. I've been mentioned that briefly, but not much. But the Prime Minister went and moved quickly to quell that error on the part of the press secretary. Because the Prime Minister knows what's at stake. Let me tell y'all something. Y'all want to know why this murder rape law is so tricky? It's politically tricky. It's one of the areas where you could tick off both sides of the gender divide in politics. You tick off men if you do one thing. You tick off women if you do anything. So in other words, you tick off the whole voting population. That's why it's so tricky. They can't read the numbers on this one. That's what's happening. The government, the politicians cannot read the numbers on this one. Cannot read it. Both sides of the political divide, they're treading carefully on this one because they know it is politically explosive for both genders. Trust me when I tell you, the only way something happens on this is if you just lead. You ain't putting your finger up in the wind, testing the wind and seeing where it blow, ain't gonna get you no directions on this one. You have to know what your core is. You have to know what you really believe, and you have to know what you really want to do, and you have to decide whether you want to put this on your agenda and in your legacy. That's all. That's the only way this one gets resolved. This one is not going to get resolved by no finger in the wind, other than if you go and do a referendum, and even that ain't guaranteed. Because the referendum, the people them say they didn't want any legalized gambling. Gambling still got legalized anyway, so don't know. It's tricky. Politically, that's the issue there. It's a tricky political issue. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this final break.
Fidelity's free Women Plus seminar is back. Join us on Saturday, October 29th at the Bahama Convention Center, where leading professionals will give you the hard facts on topics like
How to Be Rich 101, how your mental and emotional health impacts financial health, and what I wish women knew about men.
And how to get their money. This free life-changing event is for women and men. The seminar includes breakfast, 8 sessions, plus over $8,000 in prizes and surprises. Registration and breakfast begins at 8 a.m., with sessions from 9:30 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Space is limited, so register now for free at fbbwomenplus.com.
Join us for the first ever Bahamas Culinary and Arts Festival from October 21st through 23rd. It will be an unforgettable weekend of unique culinary and cultural events, from exclusive dinners, cooking demos, and tastings with master chefs like Marcus Samuelson, Danielle Bluth, Carla Hall, Dario Caccini, Amanda Freitag, and Chef Simeon Hall Jr. Cultural conversations and a great display of Bahamian art curated by John Cox. For more information, visit bahamar.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
We'll be right back.
back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you can join us today on this Thursday afternoon. If you want to call in these last moments, you can call 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us at 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp us on 439-3043. This text says, having women in parliament, I am not against, but run on your merit. The women groups want laws demanding that at least 30% have to be women. That's my problem. We are not a country that stops anyone from running, but I can never support a law demanding 30 to 50%. That's crazy and unconstitutional. Well, it won't be unconstitutional if you pass a law that puts it in line with the Constitution. So you can't say it's unconstitutional if you haven't even seen what the law would look like yet, right? And you don't get to decide what is unconstitutional. You can opine on it, but that's the job of the judges. When a matter is challenged in the courts and the judges say, yes, having looked at the matter and examined all the evidence, this is unconstitutional. So just saying it doesn't say it. And it can't be unconstitutional now because there's no law. And if you don't have a law, you don't have to actually have the details of the law. You can't know whether it's unconstitutional or not. The problem I have is that, I mean, like, well, 30% you could put down as a marker. But why 30%? Why not 40? Why not 50? Why not 60? You know? I don't know. If however the country decides that's what it wants to do, well, you know, you could call it unconstitutional all you want. And tell the courts determine otherwise, it would be what the country decides it wants to do. Texas, if women aren't being raped in staggering numbers, I see no need to change or waste time on a new law, waste time of our legislators. Man, I'm not, let me tell you something. I'm not answering you on that. I think, honestly, I'm not going to do it. I just think that is just an awful, awful way to look at it. But that's you. You carry on. That's where you are. That's what you want to think and believe. No problem. I'm done with that. So COI had an incident today in the House. I mean, at the House of Assembly, where Lincoln Bean, I understand its leader, was arrested, maybe some others, I don't know, or removed for trying to deliver, I think, some letters in relation to immigration, illegal immigration to members of parliament. I don't see why that ought to have been a problem. I mean, that's the House of Representatives. The people's representatives are there. People used to meet us all the time in the House of Assembly to pass us letters or stuff like that. I mean, that's not the best way to do it. That's not the best thing to do because we have offices and so forth, you know, but it happens. It happens, right? You bring 30, 40 people to do it, no problem. And so long as it doesn't breach any definition of the law of lawful assembly that we have, and so long as it doesn't interrupt the affairs and work of parliament and so forth. And that call is on the police. Now, if the police are wrong, then that's where you go to court and you say the police wrongly arrested, removed me, and so the courts get to decide. But, you know, this is not a drama. I don't know. We make it drama, but I don't know. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Listening to your conversation, I heard about a percentage, perhaps, of reserve for women in parliament. That's all you were talking about recently?
No. Somebody mentioned that. I talked about a number of issues today. Yeah,
I want to piggyback on that one, that particular one. Finland, I think it's Finland, one of those countries, one of the European countries, have an all as it were, maybe an all women parliament or representation. In my contribution in that, since a democracy, I don't think we need to necessarily put a number per se, depending on how the people vote. First of all, we may have to have a major party led by someone, that particular gender, and I don't know if they would want it. It would be a bias for them to have only one gender on their slate. So, but it's based on the majority of the country. I don't see that happening in the Bahamas quite yet. It's very far way off too.
Well, the truth of the matter is, man, this is an easy fix, because if political parties decided to run more women would be in the House of Assembly, period. Because most political parties, when they win the government, they don't win the government because of the candidates. They win because of the party's favorability at that time or the next party's unfavorability. And so if you ran more women would be in the House of Assembly, period. We don't need no law to fix that.
Right, definitely.
You just need parties to say, I'm going to run more women. I'm going to run 30, 40% of women this time around. If they decided to do that, they win. Chances are 30% of the people in the parliament would be women, 40% or whatever the numbers, the percentage is, right?
Yeah. I guess that might be like a referendum to the party per se, because if it's not popular, then the party that runs more may lose.
The party has to see whether that would be a political problem,
right,
for sure. You're right, but it really is a question of them doing it. I mean, Mr. Ingram ran in 92 significant number of women, right? And they won. A lot of them won.
Okay.
Right. So.
And this time around, it was very successful too.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And Chris, Mr. Christie did too. And he had quite a number of women. And the first female deputy prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas was under the Christie regime.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, man, appreciate you calling.
Bye-bye.
This text says, Lang, if I am an independent candidate, can I have a leader? No, not technically speaking. But you can caucus... independent candidates can caucus amongst themselves and have somebody as their caucus leader. So that is possible. So that is possible. So I made joke if this during the last election, because the COI say they are all independent and they are against parties, but yet they elect Lincoln as the leader of the COI party. That is funny. That's true. that's true. There's some truth to that for sure. But you can't mess with your babies now. Y'all don't joke around. but, again, so for me, like, protesting isn't new. There is a way to protest in the Bahamas according to law. And, it can be effective. Sometimes it can be ineffective. But there's no, there's a way to do it. There's a process, a legal process involved with doing it in public spaces and places. And once you follow those, no police ought to have the right to do anything to you in keeping you from doing what you're doing. There is a way to conduct yourself at the House of Assembly, in the House of Assembly. The voters' vote is sacrosanct. So the voter, having voted for those representatives, nothing on planet Earth is supposed to be able to prevent them from doing their work in the House of Assembly, because that is the sovereign parliament of the people. And so anytime you are a threat to that work, then you are going to be removed. Even a sitting member of parliament who is disrupting the work of that parliament can be removed by the sergeant of arms under the direction of the Speaker of the House of Assembly. So if an elected official disrupting the work of the parliament can be removed, what you think about anybody else? Right? So I think these things are easy enough to deal with so long as we abide by process. Now, sometimes we run into difficulty because the process requires judgments to be made on the part of each. And so sometimes the police has a judgment to make, and the police could be wrong in that judgment. And then you have a judgment to make, and you could be wrong in that judgment. And where that dispute arises, then we have the parliament, the courts that can assist in resolving that dispute. But that's the place for it. But to be sure, you know, there is no novelty in protest in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. No novelty whatsoever. We've been there, done that a billion times before. And I suspect that we should continue to be there in the days ahead, because Bahamians are becoming more active about their affairs, and they want to be heard in their affairs, and that's fine. That is as it should be. But recognize there's a process. If you think the process is wrong, if you think the law is wrong, you have every right to go ahead and object to that rule and even breach it. Just know, in so doing, there is a penalty and a price to be paid. And Martin Luther King used to say, if you are not prepared to pay the price for your civil disobedience, then don't participate in the civil disobedience. But know that one of the elements of civil disobedience is a willingness to suffer the consequences of that disobedience. That's just the way it works. And so if you're prepared to do that, then you carry on strongly. That is the right of a person in a free and democratic society. All right? So I don't have any words of condemnation for words of objection to anything. The police got to do its job, and if it's wrong, then there's a place to determine that. If Lincoln and those have to do what they believe they need to do, and if they are wrong, then there's a place to determine that too. This text says, please explain this notion that we the people own the House of Assembly and we could go there and do whatever we want to do. That's nonsense. You don't own this House of Assembly. The people own the House of Assembly. It is the people's House of Assembly. It's owned by the Commonwealth. And unless all the people go in there and do whatever they want, no one group of us as people can go in there and say we're doing what we want to do because it's our house, because that's nonsense. See, that's like saying with generation property, well, we own this as generation property, so I could go on and do whatever I want. No, you can't. No, you can't. The generation have to be able to. If you have communal property that's owned by all, you can't just go do what you want. So don't give me that. That's not true. Okay? You have to abide by the process and laws that exist in the country. Can't do anything and everything you want in the House of Assembly. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, listen, you all have a great evening. God bless. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. Stay safe. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God spares life.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody.